You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Aren't you glad this morning he did it for us? He did it for us, y'all. Well, you do know that, right?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just want to say thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Thanking my pastor for giving me this opportunity to stand before you this morning. But if it wasn't for God, where would I be? Where would I be? And I'd just like to thank you all for coming. The ones that I invited, I'd like to just thank you. And if we can just bow our heads in prayer, Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us all up this morning. Thank you for the guiding us here safe and sound. Jesus, no hurt, harm, or danger came before us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord Jesus, to speak to your people, Lord Jesus. I pray that you move me out of the way, Lord Jesus. Let your word go forth, Lord. Let someone run and come and say, what must I do to be saved? Heavenly Father, keep me, hold me, guide me, speak through me. Use me any way you want, Lord Jesus. Mold me. In your darling son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I promise you I won't be before you long.
Preach the word.
I used to always hear, they say, if you just give me a couple of amens and I'll be out your way. This morning I want to come, if we have our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14, starting at the 22nd verse. I'll be reading from the King James Version. I just want to read one verse, that 22nd verse, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Very briefly, with the help and with the Lord and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I want to reason with you for a thought. Show up, show out. Show up and show out. See, our scriptural text before us says that Jesus asked his disciples to get to a ship and go before him to the other side of the lake. They knew their destination was the other side. And just like they knew where they were going, it is important for us to know where we are going. They knew where they were going, and they were determined not to let anything hinder them from getting to the other side. After sending the disciples away, we read that Jesus sent the multitude away. This shows us that if we are going somewhere, there are some folks we may have to leave behind. Because if we stay, certain people, they won't go, and neither will we. If they are going somewhere, and a person, if you are going somewhere and a person don't want to go with you, then you need to let them stay where they are. The right thing to do is invite them to come. But if they don't want to come, don't let them stop you from making it to the other side. You hear me? Some folks will try to stop you from getting to where you're trying to go. But don't let them stop you from getting where you're trying to get to. You hear me? The text says that Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. And if the Son of God can pray, then how about us? I mean, if God, who has all power, knows everything, and is everywhere at the same time prayed, then we ought to pray. Do you know prayer is an unusual weapon? The greatest weapon that you saints can have is prayer. When you cannot be victorious any other way, just pray. You ask the question, why pray? I'm glad you asked. Why pray? Because you can change things. Prayer will change people. Prayer will change conditions. Prayer will change the one who is doing the prayer. Can I get a witness? In other words, if we have the heart to pray, heaven have an ear to hear. That is why we need to pray for our enemies, our family, our coworkers. Oh, we need to pray for our people, our president, our mayor, our governor, our next door neighbors. Come on. Because there's some mean people out here in the world we need to pray for. The average person who mess up did not pray first. You know, we do stuff and then pray. But we ought to pray first. You know how we do it. Always don't think about it. We just do it. And then, oh, I messed up. Then you want to pray. Pray first and then see what happened. Come on, somebody. Because if you pray in the calm, you can handle the storms of life. Look at what Jesus did. First, he sent the disciples away. Then he sent the multitude away. Then he went up into a mountain where he can be alone. The Bible says the evening was calm and he was there all alone. What I'm trying to tell you is take some time to be by yourself. Turn off that TV. Just unplug the phone. Cut it off. Just get and be by yourself. Get in a room by yourself and spend some time with the Lord. Because if you spend some time with God in private, he will spend time with you in public. Jesus knew that it was good to be alone sometime. He knew when you get ready to talk to God, you don't need any interferences, interruptions, because the storm of life comes at unusual times. The text says that when the disciples' ship was in the midst of the sea, the waves began to toss and the wind became contrary. Yeah. That word midst means somewhere in between their point of departure and their destination. They started off in the evening just before sundown, and by midnight they were somewhere in the midst of the lake. Now, what does that mean? It means that they had gone too far to turn around. It was just too far to go back as it was to get to the other side. It's amazing that the Lord will allow us to get into the midst of our situations. And then here comes a storm. Now, I better tell you, storms are not sent by God. There are some storms that we bring on ourselves. And doesn't it seem that storms always show up at the wrong time? You think you have it all together and suddenly a storm shows up. The thing about storms that they come without warning. They don't give you a chance to prepare. They don't give you a chance. They don't, you know they don't give you a chance to prepare. Things may be going good when a storm shows up in the middle of nowhere. And here you are enjoying life, too young to retire, and too old to find another job. You go to work one morning, all is well, and then you get the pink slip. They say they don't need you anymore. You are in a storm. You've been married 20, 30, 40 years, and you thought everything was fine. One evening, you come home from work and with a smile on your face. Open up the door. Everything is gone but the dog. You go to the doctor for a general physical. The doctor looks at you and rushes you to the hospital for emergency surgery. But when you got to the hospital, you were in a storm. You was in the midst of a storm. Never underestimate the storms of life. Hear me when I tell you, storms will come. The ship was in the midst of the lake being tossed by waves. In other words, it wasn't just sitting there. The storm was rocking the ship. You know storms will rock you. Who knows storms will rock you? Oh, yes, storms will rock you. Storms will have you sitting at the table and you can't eat. Storms will have you lying in bed and you can't sleep. Storms will have you sitting at a traffic light that is green. Come on, somebody. Storms will have you getting up for work and it's your day off. I tell you, storms will take you out of who you are. These are the trials of the storm. Sometimes when it comes to getting out of a situation, we give up too soon. But you have to keep fighting. You have to keep going forward. Yes, the disciples went through a trying time in a storm. But not only did they face the trials of the storm and the trying in the storm, but the text says also reveals the tranquility in the storm. The Bible says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on water. And whenever a storm shows up in your life, you do know that Jesus will show up. And you do know when Jesus show up, he always show out. And if the truth be told, he's already there before the storm gets there. Do you know that? The Bible says Jesus showed up. When he showed up, he used the Sea of Galilee as a sidewalk. And went into them walking on the water. He was walking on the sea. The Bible says he walked. He didn't hurry as if he was trying to get out of the storm. He didn't come on tiptoes like he was afraid of the storm. He walked. Do y'all hear me? He walked. That's what I love about God. He's never in a hurry because he has everything in control. Y'all do know he has everything in control. The text says when they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled with fear, for they thought they saw a ghost. The Bible says in verse 27, Jesus immediately spoke to them, reassuring them, don't be afraid. And I have discovered in life that sometimes we can be so drenched in our troubles that we cannot see our triumph. We can be so caught up in our circumstances that we cannot see our Savior. We can be so caught up in doubt that we cannot focus on our deliverance. Jesus knew they were afraid. Jesus told them, don't be afraid. I wonder why Jesus had to tell them who he was. Here again, we can be so caught up in our crisis that we forget who Jesus is. Don't you know if you knew who Jesus is, you would stop crying over problems in your life? If you really knew who Jesus is, you won't panic when your bank account is low. If you really knew who Jesus is, when you don't have any food to eat, don't you know he fed 5,000 men and besides the women and children? If you really, really knew who Jesus is, you will count it all joy when people scandalize your name. If you really, really knew who Jesus is, when the doctor give you a bad news and you can say, I got a doctor who is a doctor of all doctors, a doctor who has never lost a patient. Peter said, Lord, if it be, tell me to come over to you walking on water. In other words, Peter asked living water for permission to walk on physical water. Peter teaches us a valuable lesson, y'all. Listen now. Peter teaches us a valuable lesson. And that is, if we are going to overcome the storm of life, we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Not on your husband or your wife. Not on your job, but on Jesus. Not on your boyfriend or girlfriend, but on Jesus. Not on your money, but Jesus. Not on your car, but Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says that Peter was not only walking and willing to walk on water, but he walked on water during a storm. And when Peter started sinking, he had enough sense to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Notice here, y'all. He didn't say but three words in his prayer. When you get into trouble, you don't have to say a lot of words. All you have to just say is, Lord, save me. Jesus took Peter by the hand, and they walked. Listen, y'all, they walked across the water together. And I need to tell you that there is something about the hand of Jesus. If you can just keep your hand in Jesus' hand, you will find that there is a miracle working power in his hand. You cannot walk on water by yourself. Take hold of Jesus' hand. The storm you are going through is nothing but a test. That's all it is. It's just a test. God knows and see all. He already knows what you can handle. God knows what you can handle. He just wants to showcase you. He wants to put you on display so somebody else can see that he can bring them through whatever you are going through. He wants them to know that what you're going through, that it wasn't mama or daddy who brought you through, but it was grace, God's grace. I'm going to my seat, but if I can just tell you, when Jesus show up, he always shows out. He shows up. He showed up, born a virgin, changed water into wine. He healed the sick. He healed and changed healing of water. Change water into wine, healing a man was possessed by a demon, healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law, healing the sick during the evening, healing a leper, healing a paralyzed man, calming a storm, healing a woman with eternal bleeding, healing two blind men, healing a deaf man with a speech impediment. He raised up Lazarus. Hear me when I tell you, when Jesus show up, he always shows out. He didn't stop there. He healed me. And I'm so glad he healed me, y'all. Every time I preach, I have to tell how he healed me. How he brought me through four strokes where I couldn't walk and talk, but look at me now. I'm so glad that he healed me. One day he picked me up and he turned me around and he place my feet on solid ground. I'm so glad that he did. When Jesus show up, He always show out. You see, one day he showed up on a hill called Calvary. One Friday evening, he died on that hill. And he was buried in a tomb. He stayed there all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I'm talking about the one who has more books in his name than a library can contain. I'm talking about the one who Herod couldn't kill. Sin couldn't seduce him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus, y'all. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for letting me hold my hand and guide me through this life of storms that I'm going through, y'all. Come on, somebody. What's up? Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad I've been through a storm, but I was able to hold on to Jesus' hand. He held on to my hand and led me through. Look at me now. I used to couldn't walk, but look at me now. I used to couldn't talk, but look at me now. Don't tell me what Jesus won't do. Thank you. He can do it, y'all. He can fix it. All you got to do is call on him. Peter said three words, Lord, save me. All you got to do is say, Lord, save me. I don't care what situation you're in. Just say, Lord, save me. He can do it, y'all. I know he can do it. He did it for me. He can do it for you. All you got to do is say it.
All you got to do is say
it. Yes, sir. He can show up.
Show up.
Show out.
Show
up. And get to him.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.